Here we go. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children. And if you remember the story was three men came and appeared. Abraham had kind of already tried to help out God. Have you ever tried to do that? Something's not happening. Sarah was barren. That means she could not have a child. And we read about, there's a few women in the Bible that we read about that have prayed for kids and they were barren and they did. And God always says, is anything impossible for me? No. And if you think about it, this is very simple. If you believe the creation, that God spoke everything to creation in 6 days, everything. If you believe that story, then you come along to Jonah in the Bible and he gets swallowed by a big fish. That's not so hard to believe. And then you come along and men shouted and the walls fell, Jericho fall down. That's not hard to believe because God can do amazing things. And then you get along to Jesus and you see a man with thorn in his head, beaten and nailed to a cross and then stuck in a spear with a spear in his side and blood comes out and you see him walk out of the grave. Nothing's hard to believe after that, you know, and it's all by faith. But Sarah was barren, and Abraham said, and then Sarah goes to Abraham and says, hey, I've got a handmaiden. Her name is Hagar. Why don't you have kids through her so we can have a lineage? And he says, don't have to ask me twice. So he has relations with Hagar, and here comes Ishmael. And everything's going along just fine until these three dudes show up. Now, I believe these three dudes were angels. It says men in the Bible, three men. But we know that Hebrews talks about do not be kind to strangers, entertain strangers, because you never know when you're entertaining an angel. And I know some of us in here have talked about, we've had some experiences like this before, including me, where I talked to a guy and I'm like, yeah, turn around on him. Dude, I think I just talked to an angel. I don't know, but I'm not trying to get weird on you, but I'm just saying nothing's impossible with God. And so these three dudes come along and they tell Abraham, by this time next year, your wife will be pregnant and she'll have a kid. And Abraham's like, that's impossible. I'm 100 years old. Now, I was at my dad's house just yesterday. He's 92. And believe me, he doesn't have the vigor of his youth that he's going to go around and have a baby. But I can imagine 100 years old and God saying, oh, you're going to have a baby. Well, what's been going on the past 100 years? And then Sarah herself was 90 years old. And so at 90 years old, women are not having kids. And anyway, she's in the tent and she overhears these three guys and she laughs about it. She's like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so when the angels approach her, the men approached her and they said, why did you laugh, Sarah? She said, oh, I didn't laugh. Now she's embarrassed. Because she's being held to the carpet. Oh, I didn't laugh. And the angel, one of them said, but you did. And sure enough, a year later, along comes Isaac. For which the lineage of Joseph, David, Solomon, all the way up to Jesus. So amazing story. So it's saying by faith, she received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered the one. Now, this is the important part of this. She considered the one who had promised was faithful. And that's what we need to do in our lives when we go along and we have something insurmountable in front of us, like there's no way this is possible, God. And God says, who are you in the car with. This is like I told my little daughter, Jory, we're up in the North Carolina mountains driving back 10 years, 12 years ago, and we're in my truck, and we get up in the mountains and the Appalachians. If you've never been there, there's trees everywhere, and there's mountains they've cut into the side, roads they've cut into the side of the mountain, and they're very narrow. And this, we get to this sign that says, dead end ahead, no turnaround. And I'm in my full-size Chevy Silverado, and I just keep driving. And my there's a slope on this side and a slope on this side of about, I don't know, 60 degrees. You're not going anywhere. And Jory looks over and says, Dad, did you see the sign? I said, yeah, I saw the sign. She's like, Dad, it said dead end ahead, no turnaround. I kept driving. And I didn't respond to her. And 30 seconds later, Dad, are you listening to me? The sign said dead end ahead, no turnaround. Now, how many times have we thought about that in our life? All I see is a dead end ahead and no way to get out of this. But she forgot who's driving the truck. And that's what I told her. I said, Jory, I finally said, I didn't even answer. I said, Jory, who's driving the truck? She goes, oh, yeah, you can do anything, Dad. I said, yeah, if I thought this was dangerous for you, do you think we would keep driving? If I thought there was one remote possibility that I wouldn't be able to turn this truck around on this little mountain road, do you think I would put you in that? And she's like, no, you're right, Dad. And that's the way we need to be with the Lord. You know, and when that sign comes in your life, comes up dead end, no turnaround, hey, you know, and Jennifer can testify to it. We can all testify to it. Every one of us in here can testify to things that if God has done in our life, they were like, there is no way that could have happened except God. I'm a living example of it. Maria, we're all Lord. Every day I get up and go, wow, just wow. I can't write this. You know, I can't write this because times when I've looked back and said, there's no hope, there's no future, I'm done, my best days are over, I'm going nowhere. You know, I'm just, everything in life is just a big disappointment. And then God says, I'm not done with you yet. You hear me? God's telling you right now, he's not done with you yet, Tim. He's not. He's not done with any of us. You know why? Because he loves you like a son. And he loves you like a daughter. And he's got his hand upon you. When you have the hand of God on your life, nothing can come against you. Nothing is impossible for God. We're the ones who put limitations on God. We're the ones who say, no way, that's impossible. And then that's when we know it's from God, because the good things happen and we go, wow. And then we just fall at his feet and worship. You know, the devil wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your future. He wants to steal your mind, your heart, and everything, and say, you're done. You're a has-been. There's nothing for you. And I'm imagining Sarah's in her little tent, and I imagine she's laughing because she's been so disappointed in her life. She's tried to have a kid. She's tried to have kids. She wants to have kids for Abraham. They want to have a family, and it's not happening. But it only takes one man to come along. His name is Jesus Christ, to turn the world upside down, pick you back up off the ground, and put you on your feet and head you down the path to glory with him. Co-heirs in Christ, redeemed, sanctified, sealed, delivered, new creation in Christ. Done deal. Done deal. And this is Sarah. She says, you know what? I just got a glimmer of hope, because I believe in the one who is faithful. And that was her God, Jehovah God. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Therefore, from one man. And you see this commonly in the Bible. One man brought sin in the world. What was his name? Adam. By one man, sin came into the world. By one man, sin was obliterated. The man, Jesus Christ. You can't trump that man. He is the man. You know, as a kid, I would look up to certain other men. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be fast and strong and powerful. And I would look at, you know, a lot of young kids look up the sports figures. And that's why they get the jerseys and they put it on. They wear the jersey of their favorite sports running back or quarterback or whatever, because they want to be a part of that. Well, how about want to be a part of the most powerful person, man, God there is, and put Jesus on your back? Because everybody has this skewed image of Jesus. Oh, he's just this peaceful guy. No, he's a warrior too. In fact, he fought the biggest battle of all when he went to the cross and defeated death for you and me. That's a warrior that's willing to die so that you might live. That's a true warrior. And so one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as numerous as the grains of sand along the seashore. And he's referring to Isaac here, when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. He was as good as dead. Abraham had the knife. Remember the story? They went up on the mountain. Abraham gathered some wood. God has said, take your son, your only son, and go up on the mountain and slay him. And Abraham's like, what? Because you just promised that you were going to bless me and my descendants to be more numerous than the stars in the sky. God took Abraham out one day and said, at night, one time. You ever gone out at night, look at the stars? It's cool. This time of year, you don't want to go out for long and look at them. Unless you're bundled up. You go outside, I'll go outside on my deck sometimes and just look at the stars. Wow. Try to count those. And the darker, what's cool about the stars is the darker it gets, the more you see. We can't see half of them. We're only looking at about a third of them maybe, because we have all this ambient light. But if you ever go into the desert down in southwest Utah or somewhere, and it's just, and there's no other cities around, and you, on a clear night, you can't count the stars. And he says your descendants are going to be more than the stars. And Abraham's trying to figure this out in his mind. How is that going to happen, God? You're telling me to kill my own son. And this is a foreshadowing of the Father and the Son. And in fact, if you study some biblical scholars, they'll tell you that Abraham did that on the exact place that Christ was crucified 2,000 years later, on that exact mountain. And so these all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised. And that's the reality of this world, guys. There's going to be things that we have not received, because we can't receive eternal life until we die. Are you promised eternal life? Yes. How? By believing in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I don't have to do nothing. Nope. I don't have to like apologize to God for all the bad things. Nope. You just got to believe in Him. Have faith in Him. Your sins are forgiven. You're righteous. You're clean. You can't clean up your act. I tell people this before. You can't repent of your sins. You're just going to turn around and do them again anyway. We're always in this war against the flesh. We're never going to be sinless. We are sinless before Him spiritually, but physically we still struggle. That's a fact of life. And so we're not going to get the promises. He said they saw them from a distance. They greeted them and confessed they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Ever felt like a foreigner here on the earth? Every day. Every day I'm like, beam me up, Jesus. Every day I'm like, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with this world? And it's no different from it was back then. I've just been reading through the Old Testament too. And I do a Bible reading every day, which you guys ought to do that also. And it just keeps you questioning and learning. And I'm reading the Old Testament about how the Israeli, his own chosen people, did things that God says were, he could not even had imagined. They were sacrificing their children in the fire. They were having watching the pagan religions do this. They said, hey, let's do that too. And they're sacrificing, and we're still doing it today. There's no difference. We go, how could someone kill an innocent person like that? How? And so we look at that. We say, I'm a foreigner here. I don't belong to this world. And you don't. And that's scriptural. Be in the world, but not of the world. We don't belong to the world. Where do we belong? With him, in his kingdom, in his glory. And that's coming. But we can also be a partaker of it now. We're seated at the right hand of the Father with him now. He has already seated us there. It's just a matter of our spirit coming up. So those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a homeland. And that's me. You know, in all my life, I've had a job where I've kind of moved around. I cannot tell you how many times I've backed a U-Haul up and moved. To the point where I got so tired of it, I just got rid of everything. And in fact, when Maria and I moved out here, and this is no lie, I had my Silverado pickup truck, 1997, with a camper shell on the back. I had it loaded, and she had a GS37 Infinity, and she had the back seat loaded, and that's everything we had in the world. That's it. Her car and my truck. And we moved into a little apartment up here at Jordandale. And we brought our stuff in, and I was happy, man. And the whole time I'm thinking, if God wants to move me again, I'm ready. I don't even need a U-Haul now. I got this down to an art. But I've moved so many times in my life, I've never felt like I've had a home. I'm like, where would I call home? And people ask me that, so where's your home? Home is where I lay my head. That's what I tell people. Home is where me and Maria make our little bed. That's it. And because you know why? It's temporary. This is why I pray for all the people suffering from the fires in California. But hey, guys, it's going to burn anyway. And if my house burned up today, I'm not going to sit there and cry over it. God giveth and God taketh away. You know, my hope is in him, not my house, not my belongings, not what I have. The day we bought our house, Maria and I got down on our knees in the floor and we prayed and said, the day this house gets in the way of us serving you, Lord, take it. Take it away. We don't want it. There's freedom in that, guys. There's freedom. We be ready to let go of anything for him. Because he let go of his only son for you. Amen? Amen. So we're looking forward to that place that God has prepared for that, the heavenly one, the desire to go to a better place. Everybody say better place. It's coming. It's coming. It's always going to be a better place when you're with him. Just like me in the truck with my little daughter driving along. Where are we going? Dead end road. Turn around. I said, hey, we're going to a better place. Just hold on. Don't worry. Okay. By faith, Abraham. Now we're going to go back to Abraham a little bit. following the Hebrews chapter 11. When he was tested, he offered up Isaac. This is what we talked about earlier. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son. The one to whom it had been said, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. They're thinking, hey, we're going to help God here a little bit. We're going to go ahead and take the handmaid. We're going to take Hagar. We're going to have a kid with Hagar. And, you know, we're just going to get this process on. God says, no, 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 that's not the way it happens. I'm going to perform a miracle in your life so that you have no doubt it's me. I'm not playing this you got a part of it game. And this is where religion goes wrong. Religion says, I want to be a part of that. I want to have something to do with my goodness. That's from the devil. That's the devil telling you that you can do it too. You can be a God too with a little g. That's straight from the pit of hell. That's why God says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to fight your battle. I'm going to deliver you. I am going to do it. You're not going to do it. Then you will know that I am Lord. How many times in the Old Testament that all this pestilence and famine and wrath came upon the people of Israel? He says, even in the bad stuff, even when I destroy you, people are going to stand back and look and go, I know that you are the Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That includes the unbelievers as well as the believers. That is where we're coming, guys. Everyone is going to know the Lord. Everyone's not going to have faith in him, but everyone's going to confess, yes, you are the God of the universe. Amen. So he offered up his son, but he considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Now, who had been raised from the dead before Abraham? Yeah. So how is Abraham figuring this out? Has he seen anybody raised from the dead? No, it's by faith. He's saying God can do anything that's possible. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. In other words, he'd already killed him in his mind. But God says, no, no, withhold your knife. Remember the rest of the story. Withhold the knife. God will provide himself a sacrifice. And Abraham looked up, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. If you want to read the story, you can go back in Genesis and read it. And that was signifying that 2,000 years later, on that very same mountain, Jesus Christ would be offered for the sins of the world, for all the who believe. Amen? Amen. So Abraham believed the Lord. This is Genesis 15. What do you have to do to be righteous? Believe. Okay. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And if you think about it, all sin is sin from unbelief. When we sin, we don't believe God can really do what he says he's going to do. We try to help God out, or we try to get ahead of God, or we try to say, God has abandoned me. God has forgotten about me. And we try to play the pity game, and we try to play the, or we try to drown our problems in drugs and alcohol. I can tell you right now, guys, drugs and alcohol only make it worse. What does the world say? Have a beer, you'll feel better. Have two, you'll feel even better. Wash it down with a bottle of Jack Daniels and pass out drunk in the street in your own vomit. You'll feel a lot better. The devil's a what? Liar. Be filled with the Spirit, not drunk in the wine. Be filled with it, but drunk on the wine, the Spirit, not drunk on the wine. The drugs and alcohol make your mind play tricks on you. And they're an instrument of the devil. Nothing wrong with drinking a beer or a glass of wine, but when you got a problem with it, and you can't quit drinking, and you drink till you're drunk and stupid, then you don't need that in your life. Amen? Amen. Because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. And we'll end with this. Are we conquerors? We are more than conquerors in Christ. Amen. Because he has conquered for us. And you see, this is the beauty about life, is wherever you go tomorrow, God's already prepared that. Every step you make tomorrow, God has already preordained that. So you can't mess up. There's a time in my life when I said, I'm just going to stay in the house, lock the doors, close the windows, because every time I go out, I mess up, I do something stupid. You know, I got Popo chasing me around or whatever. You know, I'm like, I'm just going to stay right here, God, until you tell me to move. Till finally said, God, Chuck, I got you, man. Just go walk. Go walk. And go talk to other people about what you know. Well, what do I know, Lord? You know me. How many people, I was in the airport yesterday, need to know that and need to be encouraged and need to just have someone smile and you go, what are you smiling about? You want me to really tell you? It won't take long. His name is Jesus. That's what I'm smiling about. And so the victory is that the victory that has conquered the world is our faith. We are conquerors through faith. We have overcome the world through faith. The goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Isn't that cool? And we've already obtained that as believers. It's not something we need to keep striving for. It's not something that we need to keep working for. It's not something we can lose. You know, the devil's out there telling people you can lose your salvation. How's that? How's that possible? Well, yeah, you haven't done certain things you need to be doing. Well, what are those certain things I need to be doing? Because Jesus said the work's finished. Well, you're not living right. Well, how do you live right? I'm living right. We're all living right. We're all living right because we know Jesus and he is in us and we can't do anything that's not righteous. Pass it on. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for another word from you today. Lord, we just pray for everyone here that they will be encouraged. They will remember who you are. There's nothing is impossible with you. And they will remember where we're going, the city you prepared for us forever, for eternity. And that we're just passing through this little, we're foreigners in a land right now, just passing through for a little bit of time, a moment, a twinkling of the eye, and we're going to be gone. And God, so help us to understand how much you love us. Don't listen to keep the devil from putting it in our mind that we're no good, we're not worthy, we're old wretched sinners. Keep all of that away from us, Lord, as we just understand how much you love us and what you've done for us and who we are in you, and that you're never going to leave us and never forsake us, and that we're guaranteed to be an heir with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.